Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. The Transfiguration. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor. Talking with Jesus, they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, one day as people made their way to work on the Portuguese island of Madeira, they saw this in the sky above the trees and houses. We hopefully just have a picture come up there for us now. Believe it or not, that's a cloud formation, simply reflecting the sun's light in the very early morning. Apparently, the low-angled rays of light at that time cause an effect called light scattering, which produces these amazing colours. Some people said that it looked like a giant flaming comet about to smash into the earth. Others said they thought it was like the hand of God reaching out to the people of Madeira. I can kind of see both, but in any case, it's certainly stunning. There's some similarity between this and the story of the transfiguration of Jesus in Luke 9, which also involves a cloud, a glorious radiance, and in this case, the voice of God. But Jesus is with his friends. We'll just leave that there for a moment. Jesus is with his friends on the top of the mountain where they went to pray, and then suddenly Jesus' appearance changes and he shines with brilliant white light, so dazzling they can hardly look at it. But there's a radical difference between the events on Madeira and the Mount of Transfiguration. As amazing as this cloud formation is, as soon as the sun's angle changed, it just turned into a lump of grey, cabbage-shaped cloud. The only glory it had was a reflected glory. With Jesus' transfiguration, the light, the glory, is coming out of Jesus. He's the source of it. It belongs to him. So what does that mean for Jesus and for us? That photo can come down now. Thanks, Rickard. And that's what we need to explore this morning, looking at what the transfiguration has to tell us. Firstly, about who Jesus is. Secondly, what he came to do, and thirdly, how that connects with our lives. So what's the transfiguration say to us about who Jesus is? Well, a cloud of dazzling light isn't a new thing in the Bible. It's what the Old Testament called the Shekinah, or the glory cloud. And this cloud appeared at certain times, and it represented God's very presence. And it accompanied the children of Israel through the desert in the Exodus. It appeared as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It also appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai. And when Moses came down from the mountain, from seeing the glory cloud, his face shone too, so that the people could hardly look at it. But again, unlike Jesus, Moses' radiance was only a borrowed, reflected glory, like the cloud on Madeira. It had borrowed its brilliance from the sun and soon faded. But Jesus is the sun. The dazzling light comes out of him. Hebrews 1 says that God revealed himself through many prophets in the past, but in Jesus Christ, the radiance of God's glory he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus is not just another prophet trying to get closer to God. He is God. And up to this point in Jesus' ministry, there's been a huge question hanging in the air. Who is this Jesus? You know, he who heals the sick, befriends the outcast, forgives sins, promises eternal life. But if he's just another religious leader or a charlatan, then it's going to have no lasting substance or value. It's just another passing sideshow. But if he is the eternal creator and redeemer himself, then that changes absolutely everything. Then what he says and does has eternal substance. It will last forever. It will fill us with the greatest hope that's indestructible, and it'll totally transform our lives now if that's true. We either believe in the fully supernatural divine Jesus, or we think he's something less than that. Maybe a good man who said a lot of good things about God. But if that is what we believe, then in the end, he's just no different from any of us. And the value of his words and actions are just going to die with him. In which case, if that's how it is, we are just left with fading life, decaying, and we're in the process of losing everything that really matters to us in life. Forever. Happy Christmas. That's why churches who hold to the supernatural Jesus of the Bible, the majority of them are outside the Western world, they are growing like crazy. And that's why churches that have given up on the supernatural Jesus and replaced him with a mere good man who talks a bit of religion, the majority of them are in the Western world, they are dying. That's how crucial it is. Now, I'm going to tell you a bit of a strange story. Warning here. It's one I only very rarely tell, and on the occasion I think it might serve the gospel. I had an experience when I was 20 years old. I had grown up as a Christian, but wasn't one then, and I hadn't been for some time. I was with some friends late one night, and we were under the influence of drugs. And I was having a conversation with a particular friend. And I know this is going to sound really weird, but in the middle of it, something happened. And my friend started speaking to me in the first person as Jesus Christ. I mean, just as though he were Jesus Christ talking to me. Now, I know what you were thinking. Hey, you were on drugs. Of course you thought he was Jesus Christ. But no, it wasn't like that. And honestly, this was something that broke right through the effect of any drugs. and I was stone cold sober when this happened. I somehow knew that I was being met by Jesus and spoken to by him, and that this was real. And he told me of his great love for me in spite of everything, that he had a good plan for my life and was wanting me to come back to him and direct my life in his way, including not using drugs. The next morning, I woke up excited, and I rushed to my friend to talk to them about this amazing thing that had happened the night before. But to my astonishment, he knew not a thing about it. But I absolutely knew the central effect was that I knew that Jesus was real. He was there. He was in my world. He was in my life. I could not get away from him. I knew that he was God, that he was the Redeemer and Lord of all who loved me, and that I had to reckon with him. I had to come to terms with him. I struggled with that for some time, but within the next year I was totally converted or reconverted to faith in Jesus Christ and became his follower. Now, a couple of important qualifying comments need to go with that story. Firstly, regarding that foolish phase in my life, what I take to be pretty obvious, but if you use drugs, they will do lasting damage to you. And that's if you're lucky. If you're not lucky, they can kill you. So first point, don't touch them. Second point, in that experience, nothing more happened to me than simply what has to happen to every single one of us. That is, Jesus reveals himself to us as God and Lord so that we have to reckon with that in our lives. Now, that may equally happen on a mountain where Jesus, Moses, and Elijah appear in dazzling light, or when you are having a cup of tea in your living room, reading every day with Jesus, and nothing out of the ordinary appears to happen at all. The important point is that we personally have that revelation of who Jesus is, that he is God. And that can and must happen for all of us. It'll come as it did with Jesus' disciples, when they are reading and thinking about God's truth, his word, and praying. So do that. Jesus promises to do all the rest. Trust him. So that's who Jesus is, God. Now two, and my second and third points will be briefer than the first. But what did Jesus come to do? Now the thing with God's presence is, we saw this a couple of weeks ago, it's lethal. The Bible says no one can see him and live. As I said, we looked at this recently and we need to look at it again. Firstly, because every human being struggles with this truth. And secondly, because it's incredibly important. Some might wrongly think that this is just a bit of a nasty view about God, you know, that just belongs to the Old Testament, the idea of a God of judgment. But that misunderstands both God's judgment, which is full of love, and it misunderstands his love, which has his truth and judgment at its core. And both New Testament and Jesus acknowledge the truth that human beings cannot themselves survive the presence of God. Really, it's just physics. What would happen if an elephant sat on you? God's being is simply too great for ours to bear. It would crush us. He is the eternal God and creator. We are the creature made of dust. He is the holy God with burning moral purity. We are sinners. And so seeing and touching God without anything in between to protect or mediate for us would overwhelm and destroy us. In the Old Testament tabernacle, God's presence was symbolised in what was called the Holy of Holies, which was separated off by a big thick curtain as protection for the people. All cultures in the world seem to understand this, apart from the postmodern West. In the West, we see God as lightweight, as easy to approach. What did Croc Dundee say? God's me mate. Easy to approach. You see, we've domesticated God. In fact, almost like a pet. And, you know, in fact, in the West, we even feel entitled before God. Even think he should be thankful that we notice him. That's how it's got. But anyone who seriously seeks and approaches God sooner or later finds themselves morally and spiritually undone. Now, in the Transfiguration, the glory of God's presence is revealed to the disciples, and guess what? They live. Not only that, it says that they are taken into, they're enveloped by the glory cloud. They somehow actually get to become a part of that divine glory, get to share in it. This is truly astounding. And so we see Peter kind of freaks out. He says to Jesus, oh, shall we build three tabernacles, one for you, Moses and Elijah? You see, he's still thinking about protecting themselves from the divine glory. Let's put it in a tabernacle. He's thinking, you see, this is got to be too good to be true. But no, it's absolutely true. How? In verse 31, it says that Moses and Elijah who appear there are talking with Jesus about his departure, which he is about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, the word translated as departure there is a Greek word that every one of us know very well. It's the word, the Greek word, Exodus. Exodus. Do you see what this is saying? Where Moses led the original Exodus, Jesus will lead the new ultimate Exodus. Where Moses freed Israel from oppression and slavery, Jesus will free all people from sin and death forever. And as it says, he did this in Jerusalem. When he suffered and was put to death on the cross to pay for, cancel, and forgive all our sins, to defeat all evil and death for us, to raise us from the dead to eternal life in a glorious new heaven and earth. In other words, to deliver us from all bondage. Exodus. And Matthew records how at the moment of Jesus' death, the great curtain in the temple surrounding the Holy of Holies, separating the people from the presence of God, tore in two. Our full access into the glory of God's presence was secured. Just as Jesus Christ, the Eternal Son, has full access to that glorious presence, so do we. Jesus exchanged glory, beauty, holiness for humiliation, ugliness, and our sin, so that we might be made glorious, beautiful. The transfigured became disfigured, so that the disfigured, us, might become transfigured. Do you see what this means? What we are looking at in the stunning transfiguration of Jesus is a mirror. We're seeing our true selves, glorified humanity. What Jesus came to do. Now, three, and very briefly, how's that connect with our lives? Well, first, obedience. You know, if Jesus is Lord of the universe, we must utterly submit our lives to him, let him direct all aspects of our lives. There's no partway Christianity. It's either the whole hog or nothing. So think about the points in our lives where we are disobedient to him. Prayerfully turn around and seek him. Receive his glory. He's holding it out to you. And obey him. Why wouldn't we? How could we not? Secondly, how the transfiguration connects with our lives. Worship. How beautiful is the transfiguration? And I don't just mean the spectacle, but especially the grace that was poured out for us there. Do we come to church out of duty? Or do we come because we desire God? Think of what we most enjoy doing in life. What grabs most of our time and energy? Is God more than that to us? He needs to be, and he can be. Gaze more into the beauty of the gospel. Duty will be overcome by desire. Thirdly, how the transfiguration connects with us, hope-filled patience. Jesus goes from the supreme glory of the transfiguration to go through the utter darkness of the cross in order to accomplish forgiveness, resurrection from the dead, a new heaven and earth, glory. And Christ promises to lead us through that same journey. Are you in any struggle, pain, or darkness? Well, Jesus promises to take it all and to lead you and to work in you to fulfill his glorious purpose for your life through all of that. Trust him totally to do that and let him lift and carry you. It can transform our lives with hope-filled patience. Amen.